Support for this podcast comes from HireVue. HireVue's team acceleration software combines digital video with deep learning analytics to help companies build and coach the world's best teams. Team acceleration software is a modern digital answer to antiquated recruiting and training software that has placed barriers and bias in the way of finding, selecting, and coaching a company's most important asset, its people. Visit hireview.com, that's spelled H-I-R-E-V-U-E, to learn how organizations like Vodafone, Unilever, Nike, Red Bull, IBM, and JP Morgan Chase are modernizing the way they work.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi everyone, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 72 of the Recruiting Future podcast. So we haven't had a new episode of the show for a couple of weeks. I'm currently writing a book at the moment, collaborating with my good friend Mervyn Dinnan, and it's taken a lot of my focus in the past few weeks. It's now nearly done and is being published in the UK and the US next May, and I'm sure I'll be telling you a lot more about it in the new year. So on to this week's show and a return to the topic of candidate experience. There's a lot of talk at the moment about treating candidates as customers, but what happens when your candidates actually are your customers? My guest this week is Ben Gledhill, Talent Acquisition Manager at retailer Sofology. In the interview, Ben gives some brilliant practical insights into how to audit and improve your candidate experience. Hi, Ben, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Matt.
So could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and who you work for?
Yeah, of course can. So my name's Ben. Got over 11 years experience working in various forms of recruitment, agency side, RPO, and later on internal recruitment, talent acquisition. I'm currently the talent acquisition manager for Sofology, who some of our listeners might know formerly as CSO and SofaWorks. I've been basically brought in here to help us on our journey from a out-and-out sofa retailer to a full omni-channel retailer. So we're taking the best that digital and technology has to offer and bringing that into the world of selling sofas to give the customers the best possible journey that they have.
That's really interesting. What challenges do you have in doing that? Because I'm guessing you're sort of mixing retail challenges with digital recruitment challenges as well.
We are, yeah. So without wanting to knock this off industry, it's not seen as a very sexy industry to work in by the people that we are wanting to hire. So if we go back maybe 12, 24 months, our IT team was probably about 3 or 4 guys in a broom cupboard. Now it's about 30 strong. We have a team of developers, testers, 3D graphic designers, all these type of kind of cool, funky millennial types. And my biggest challenge from an attraction perspective is to say, don't go and work for that cool startup or that cool tech company. Come and work for a retailer making 3D images of sofas. So that's very much from an attraction perspective. That's probably the kind of biggest challenge that we have at this moment.
And how? What have you done to sort of overcome that? What's worked for you really well in that area?
Okay. Well, luckily, both our CTO and our CEO are not only champions of technology, but really cool technology. So our software development is done in all the latest Microsoft stacks, which is really important to all the developers out there. And when it comes to attracting our 3D and graphic design candidates, we've invested a hell of a lot in 3D imagery, really cool technology that kind of Formula One car designers use as well. So when they come in, you know, we don't have that much of a challenge of selling opportunities. It's just attracting them from the more bigger, kind of cooler technology companies out there.
So I know that you have had a kind of a massive focus on improving and optimizing and understanding your candidate experience. Why did you sort of come to the conclusion that candidate experience was so important?
Well, I guess two things really, Matt. I think the first thing, you know, it's something that's very kind of sacred to me, really. Having been a candidate many occasions, you know, some good and bad. So I think that was the first thing. But secondly, you know, I think in today's world where your employer brand is so important, candidates have access to various bits of information, whether it's Glassdoor, Twitter, Facebook, or even speaking to fellow professionals at a networking event. You know, the experience that a candidate has during the journey, whether it's reading a review, a video interviewing, or even the onboarding process, it has to be absolutely world class in its delivery, because if not, if they are rejected, for example, they will go and bash your brand. I think I've heard a few people say, or if they're successful and the journey hasn't been good, well, the start of the employee journey already on the back foot. So for us, it's really important that people that are going through the candidate experience for us experience the absolute best of what both we can offer as an employer, but also the best of kind of technology that we can use as well.
And I'm guessing that particularly with you guys being a retailer, that's kind of critical, because I'm sure all of these people are probably your customers as well, because let's face it, everyone needs a sofa.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, this is probably the $64 million point. You know, I mean, we did a little bit of analysis similar to a lot of retailers that, you know, our candidates can be our customers and our customers can be our candidates. And I think I carried out a little bit of analysis earlier in the year. So say, for example, if we have 10 negative candidate experiences per week, our average order value is just over £1,300. If that happens per week over the space of 1 year, as a business, we potentially lost out on £676,000 of potential revenue, which for an SME like ourselves, it could spell disaster, really.
Absolutely. I can see why that would be so important. So what did you do once you kind of done this analysis? Did you look at your current candidate experience? What was your sort of process from this point?
We did, yes. Yeah. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, in order for us to really kind of evaluate our candidate experience and improve it, we needed to know exactly what it looked like. So using a lot of what's coming out of, in particular, the US in terms of how a candidate experience looks like now, it's very similar to a consumer journey. So you'll have things like awareness, consideration, interest. And then after that initial marketing period, they'll come into what we all know is a recruiting process. So things like the application, the select, and the hire stage. So we spent a lot of money on some post-it notes from Staples, and we actually mapped out every point of the candidate experience, and more importantly, the different ways that they can enter that. So for example, you know, the career site, events, our own talent pooling. When it comes to the assessment stage, is it an assessment center? Is it a video interview? Eat right through to the onboarding stage. So when we offer a candidate, what happens then? You know, do we keep in contact? Do we invite them to social events? Can we send them any content on our business to kind of already starting to build that emotional link? And it was a really, really powerful exercise, because for the first time as a business, we had total control of that candidate experience, because we knew exactly what was happening and when and what the potential impact would be.
And what were the sort of particular problems that you spotted? And even more importantly, how did you go about fixing them? Because I think that lots of companies will acknowledge they have problems with their candidate experience, but they don't necessarily know what they should do to fix them.
So when we started to kind of look around how we collated CVs, because we are a retail organization and we do get a lot of passive interest from candidates who will just walk into a store, have a CV, we found that some store managers were actually holding quite ad hoc interviews, which, you know, you're in a busy store, there's customers everywhere, and then you're being taken to the side just by a store manager. So that was a key thing. And we also found that the quality of the actual hiring process from an interview perspective was very varied. So you had some hiring managers that were great interviewers, could really settle a candidate down, ask questions in a really well-pitched way, or you had some hiring managers that didn't make the candidate feel comfortable, didn't follow any kind of structure, and because his or her interviewing style wasn't adequate enough, they were getting the information that they needed, therefore potentially the candidate was being rejected for the wrong reasons. So for me, those two key elements potentially could be destroying our candidate experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you go about improving them?
So the first part of it, when our ATS went fully mobile, it meant that the hiring managers could actually use their phone or their iPad to log any ad hoc applications there and then. So that meant they'd go through the standard process, the standard assessment center, meaning that every candidate, whether they've applied via Reed, Total Jobs, or they've been into our Leicester store, have the same assessment process. The second problem took a little bit more time and a little bit more thinking, but we actually created a hiring manager's development course, which covered various topics such as how to interview in terms of the questions that you're using, how to review a CV, what type of feedback that we need for either a successful or an unsuccessful candidate. And what we actually do now at Sofology is a hiring manager can't hold an interview unless they have passed this training. So now we know that everybody who assesses within the business are at a consistent level, which it's empowered us to kind of trust that when somebody in IT or marketing or finance holds an interview, we know exactly what they're doing because they've all been on the same training scheme.
That's great. That makes perfect sense. Was there anything else that you were doing around candidate feedback? Were there any other parts of the process that sort of needed improvement where you took some kind of action?
Yeah, massively. So I think all recruiters will hear this, but there's nothing worse than getting a simple no on an email or when you meet somebody face to face. So when we receive feedback now from hiring managers, you know, part of the training scheme is we talk about the employee brand and what can happen if we don't successfully feedback to candidates. So now we make sure that we get very objective feedback that we can pass on to unsuccessful candidates, because as candidates we have all been there, and there's nothing worse than just getting a quite non-human like no email or a no of a voicemail. So in terms of feedback, every assessed candidate now receives full verbal and written feedback, and we will also offer additional feedback if they require it. And the actual response from the business has been really positive, because now they can see that it's not just a paper exercise, but we are promoting and kind of trying to improve our employer brand by making sure that, you know, candidates might not have been successful for Sofology, but because they've received this feedback, hopefully they will be successful in their next application.
That's fantastic. And I suppose the next question is how are you sort of measuring candidate satisfaction? Is that something that you're looking at, that you're able to find data on?
So we've got a little bit of an unfair advantage over probably a couple other organisations. So our ATS actually has a tool in there where we can ask candidates feedback. So we really wanted to measure what the experience of our customers in store. So when a customer goes into a store, purchases a sofa, they will get a text message asking to rate their experience through a NPS system.
So we do the exact same for our candidates. So we created a wide range of questions, questions such as, can you rate the timelines involved? How would you rate the quality of information provided before the interview? And how would you rate the salary? Loads of kind of different questions, both qualitative, both on a qualitative and quantitative basis. But the killer question is, overall, how would you rate your experience? It's a simple 0 to 10 NPS question. And for me, that will tell us if they've enjoyed the experience, they will promote it. And if not, they will detract it, thus kind of damaging our employer brand. We make sure that it was fully optimized for both mobile as well. And we actually review this on a daily basis, which means we have real, live, emotive feedback that we can go away and hopefully improve what we're doing.
And how have the results been?
Not going to lie, there are a couple of talk early issues to start with. I mean, I think any organisation that does this has to realise that there will be quite a lot of rough with the smooth. You know, I think one example we kept when we started using the system, there was quite a lot of comments saying candidates weren't really unsure of the overall process or what was going to happen. So when we revamped our career site back in March, we created a useful stuff tab, put together a couple of PDFs explaining the whole process start to finish, what is involved, and a very simple chart of if you're coming in for this role, you'll have a psychometric. If you're coming in for this role, it's a presentation. Just so our candidates know everything that will be expected of them through the hiring process.
And what advice would you give to another organisation who is embarking on a similar candidate experience improvement journey?
I think for me, I think you have to be very honest about what you do. I think you will get a lot of negative feedback from candidates. I think you need to be really kind of open to receiving that, because it's like anything, you know, the old phrase is feedback is a gift. And I think with this exercise, it really, really is. I think that's one thing. But another thing would also, I think it's really important to leverage what I call the basics versus the hype. So there are some amazing pieces of technology that you can use to enhance your candidate experience, such as video interviewing, real-time onboarding. I've seen a number of apps that are either being made or in the process of being made. But if you don't provide feedback, or you've got a hiring manager that is asking the wrong type of question in an interview scenario, you're kind of doing all the way the cool stuff by not doing the basics. So I think that's a really important piece of, you know, as well as doing all the cool sexy stuff, don't forget the basics of good recruitment, things like, you know, interview etiquette, providing good feedback, and making sure that you kind of stick to the timelines that you probably told the candidate about the start of the journey, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's just 100%, you know, 100% agree with you. I think that one of the issues that we face in our sector is there is so much innovation and cool stuff and technology coming on board. And I think that sometimes people get a bit blindsided by that and forget about the core things that they need to do. And I suppose that leads me kind of on to my final question, my final question, which is, what's kind of on your radar at the moment from what you're looking at in terms of, you know, technology and the way that recruitment's moving? What would you hope to be sort of using or integrating into your strategy in sort of 18 months' time?
So I think for me, the big thing that I really want to kind of start kicking off is, obviously we have an ATS, but I really want to take some of the good work that is happening in the US, for example, at the moment around CRM. So, you know, really kind of build on the employer brand by using a real life CRM system where you can, you know, submit all types of content and really concentrate on kind of getting the leads and turning them hopefully into successful hires. Because I think I said at the beginning, you know, over the past 12 months, I've come to the realization that everything that we do now is very marketing and employer brand led. very similar to the consumer world. So I think if we can take a little bit of the CRM technology, and I also think we need to probably look at how our technology process works from start to finish. I know, I think I was at a conference a couple of weeks ago whereby people looking for the Amazon effect, whereby I think from start to finish it's something like 5 clicks. We're probably a little bit away from that, but I think, you know, all organisations need to look at, you know, how long does it take for a candidate to apply. There's so much choice out there, you know, that if the technology or the process isn't to their liking, they'll probably kind of jump off and we'll lose them in that funnel. So I think for me, it's kind of looking at that kind of whole kind of CRM, employer branding piece, and kind of making sure that we can use that for attraction purposes.
Ben, thank you very much for talking to me.
No problem. Pleasure, Matt. Take care.
My thanks to Ben Gledhill. You can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, or via your podcasting app of choice. Just search for Recruiting Future. You can find all the past episodes at www.rfpodcast.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list and find out more about working with me. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next week, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.